Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere in the nation on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search the Rob O'Donnell Show. It's always a pleasure to bring in my friend, managing editor Ed Marcy of HotAir.com, townhall.com media organization. Ed, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be back on with you.
Great to have you, as always. I saw this article earlier today, and I reached out to you, and I saw what it aired on CNN. And your headline for Town Hall, for HotAir.com from Town Hall Media is CNN, let's face it, Trump is the most influential president this century and more. And it talks about tariffs and other things, but saying tariffs is probably the least important of the changes that he's made.
Actually, you can even argue that the tariffs haven't actually changed yet permanently because this is still tied up in the courts, right? So I'm not going to rest legacy on tariffs until it actually clears through the court process. And there's a good chance that the courts are going to rule that Trump is overstepping his authority there. But he's really reset the context of American politics and global politics in massively influential ways. Using force to end Iranian nuclear weapons development was a game changer on the world stage. The fact that he's even arguing over the terms of what we used to call free trade is, and having our trading partners more or less capitulate on the notion that it has never actually been free and fair trade. Otherwise, they would not be accepting non-reciprocal tariffs in order to access the American market. I think he's really changing the context of American policy, of global policy. And I think especially when it comes to cultural discussions, especially around DEI the way that higher education is operating within that sphere, this is a complete change of direction for the United States, and of course immigration, which I think Kerry Enten was very good at outlining in that CNN clip.
And when you start getting CNN to divulge time to say how good your administration's doing, I mean, you have to just that in itself chalk that up as a win.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'll preface it by saying this: Harry Enten is a data guy. So Harry Enten has always gone where the data takes him. And so sometimes he has good things to say about Trump. Sometimes he has bad things to say about Trump and Republicans, but it's always data oriented. So he's pretty reliable and more reliable than some of the hosts there. But Harry Enten is pretty much a straight shooter. So, and he has been very good about explaining how the data is working in favor of Republicans over the last few months, especially when it comes to party assessment, that sort of thing. Democrats have been plummeting in the assessment of voters, both within their party and outside their party. And Enten's been pretty good at covering that as well.
And I'm glad you went into that there, because that was my next question. As this is going on, as we're discussing these wins, as the data in this instance is showing that, how influential the rapid fire just over 7 months has been in this administration, we see the Democrats, where Elizabeth Warren is campaigning with Mamdani, the socialist New York City mayoral candidate. And they don't seem, like I've said for the past 7 months, they have no message, they have no leader, they have no platform, and they keep proving and not proving, but double down on that.
Well, it's hard when you're in the wilderness to have a party leader, right? I mean, and this was the thing that tripped up Kamala Harris on Stephen Colbert's show. He asked her, who's the leader of the Democrat Party? And there's actually an easy answer to that. It's your highest ranking elected officials, which would be Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries. I mean, that's literally the answer that you give to that sort of question. What Colbert wanted to know was who's going to be the Democrat nominee in 2028. And there's just simply no way to tell that. But that's an unfair ask at this stage of a cycle. But Harris couldn't even come up with that answer, which I think was rather funny. Now, the Mamdani, I think Republicans are very wise to try to make him the face of the Democrat Party because he's a radical. And even though he may be selling to some extent in New York City, and I'm not even sure that that's the case, he's not going to sell nationwide. And so Elizabeth Warren getting on board with him is really a bad idea, but it's coming from that same neo-Marxist left wing of the Democrat Party to which Warren belongs. And it's going to be a real problem for Democrats trying to reconnect with middle America in the next electoral cycle. They're going the wrong direction, and apparently there's nobody there to tell them to stop.
With Mamdani and you saying that he doesn't have that national taste, that national recognition to get him over there, when his big sister from the same area, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is polling very highly in the Democrat, it's possible 2028. Actually, she did better than Kamala Harris in the last poll.
I wouldn't doubt that it'd be too difficult to do better than Kamala Harris after what happened last year. First off, I'll just say that. But again, she's popular among the left wing of that party. And not because she's accomplished, but just simply because she's known. I mean, it's a lot of this is just name recognition at this point. She hasn't actually done anything. The only thing that she's actually done is managed to win elections. She hasn't put together any legislation. She goes out and does, fundraising with Bernie Sanders, but that's about all she's accomplished in office so far. And I don't think that if push came to shove, if she really wanted to put together a national campaign, that she would get much traction. First off, I don't think she's too much better than Kamala Harris when it comes to explaining things. And second, she's just too radical. She's Mamdani. You're right. She's Mamdani's political sister. And that's not a compliment.
No, indeed. My counterpart who has the show before me, Sue Henry, had a great interview today from a local organization that follows government spending, especially here in Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth Foundation. And it turns out that Governor Josh Shapiro, our governor here in Pennsylvania, has increased his official governor PR staff, his social media presence, by 21 employees. For over $3 million of taxpayer dollars doing that. And a lot of the stuff he's putting out is directed at other states, directed at generalizations, not so much the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, to where if you transition that, they found out that his campaign PR only employs one person. They said his 21 staffers on his social media campaign, on his PR team for the governor, his official governor PR team, is even greater than Gavin Newsom has, and we all know what kind of media-hungry individual he is. What does that tell you, hearing that information out there?
He's running in 2028.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised by that at all, but that's exactly what that's telling me. That's telling me, yeah, they're not on the campaign because he'd have to pay them on the campaign. The state of Pennsylvania is paying them if they work for the governor's office. And that's up to the state legislature and the people of Pennsylvania. If they are offended by that, they probably should be. Those people really should be working on the campaign. But it does mean that he doesn't have to raise funds or he doesn't have to spend funds quite so early in a campaign cycle. But yeah, he's running in 2028. He actually wouldn't be a bad choice for Democrats in 2028, but I don't think that they're smart enough to realize that.
You're still based in Texas, correct, Ed?
I am, yeah.
So with this fleeing of your state representatives to places like Illinois, even the governor of New York had a few of them up in Albany to talk about that. What's going on underground? Are there going to be arrests of state legislatures? Are there going to be firings, $500 a day fines? It seems to be quite a tug of war that's moved nationally now.
Oh, it's going to be glorious down here. I we're going to have so much fun covering this. It'll be a blast. They just issued arrest warrants, civil arrest warrants. The Speaker of the House held a vote and authorized those. Ken Paxton is going to try to enforce those. I think it's very interesting to note that most of them fled to Illinois, which has one of the worst gerrymanders in the nation. And they flew there on private jets so that they could be protected by a billionaire oligarch named J.B. Pritzker. And if you don't know who J.B. Pritzker is, he's the governor of Illinois, and he's also fabulously wealthy. He's the kind of oligarchs that, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders would rail against if he wasn't a Democrat politician as well. And they flew there on a private jet, which I think is just absolutely hilarious. Talk about all of the different ways in which the optics of this thing just work badly. But the other part of this, too, and a little bit more substantively, the special session that Abbott called is dealing with the redistricting maps, but it's also dealing with the the flood victims, the people who were displaced by the flood, the people who lost family members in the flood, and in bolstering safety systems so that the next storm that comes through there, people are going to be better prepared for that. That's all on hold now because Democrats have fled the state. And I don't know who's, I would assume that maybe somebody like Stephen Miller is doing their strategy for them to make Republicans look even better than they already look. It's a terrible way to it's a terrible way to operate. I've always hated what I call flea bagging, and this is the third time now that Texas Democrats have done this in the last 22 years.
Yeah, it was interesting to see the governor come out and say that if you are accepting donations, if you're accepting gifts like air travel or a place to stay or such like that to not do your official job, you know, there may be legal consequences there.
Well, what happened 4 years ago after the last flea bagging incident, which was over a voting reform package that Republicans wanted to pass in Texas, is that the legislature actually passed laws which make that a felony. Which is the reason, one of the reasons why they are talking about law enforcement now, not just to bring them back to the legislature, but to actually prosecute them for this felony of accepting money for the purpose of obstructing the state legislature from doing its business. And it's not just the politicians that can be prosecuted for that, it's the people who give them money, too. And so if this really gets down to hardball, it may not just be civil arrest that we're talking about, it might be criminal prosecutions. And that's what at least that's what everybody's threatening right now. That's easier said than done, but it will be interesting to see how it unfolds.
And something that I think is easier is your state legislator in Texas is only part-time. They only get a stipend for being legislators. They most of them have full-time jobs that they should be there for to attend as well.
Well, yes. And that's actually more the norm than it is the exception. Most state legislatures are part-time. When I was living in Minnesota, that's a part-time legislature there as well. They do biennial budgets there as well as here. So generally speaking, they only meet once every, they have one, you know, longish session every 2 years. But down here, they call a lot of special sessions in Texas. So they have to be around the state quite a bit. And this is one of those special sessions. And they are required to attend that. And the legislature can order their arrest if they don't show up. And that's exactly what's going on right now. And if they don't want to be legislators, if they don't want to have debates over these types of things, they should leave the legislature and find people who are willing to go through the democratic process of debate over bills and having votes to determine what the actual laws are going to be.
I hope Pennsylvania heard you loud and clear that part-time legislatures are more the norm than not like here in Pennsylvania where it's their full-time, full-paid positions. Ed Morrissey, managing editor of HotAir.com. Ed, if my listeners want to follow you and your work, how can they do that?
Well, I mean, you just go to HotAir.com. I'm, you know, writing there, and I've got a great team there. I'm also on Twitter, at Ed Morrissey. That's two R's, two S's. And so you can find me there as well.
All right. Ed, as always, it's always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you.